Hi, I'm Terry Snowden. Welcome to the Forever Mancunians series here on the Forever Manchester podcast platform. In each episode, we bring you an interesting and inspirational conversation with local people doing extraordinary things in our communities. Based in Oldham, Pennine Mencap works to provide opportunities for adults with learning disabilities and those with complex needs across Oldham, Tameside and throughout Greater Manchester by helping people to create, achieve and express themselves. Pennine provide a variety of services and activities that engage learning disabled adults and those with complex needs with the aim of helping individuals to develop skills that bring positive changes to their everyday life, such as basic knowledge and skills that can obviously help in the workplace and also in helping individuals to make effective life choices. Pennine Mencap hold events and activities across the local area, encouraging people to take part, to get involved and to learn and to develop and to share their hobbies and their skills. I'm delighted to welcome the Managing Director at Pennine Social Care and also Chairman of Pennine Mencap, Elliot Sparks. Welcome indeed, welcome.
Good afternoon, Terry Snowden, MBE.
I'm sorry for that big introduction. I was hoping it was okay.
I had a little bet going on in my head as to when it would come to an end, but I enjoyed it, so thank you, that was lovely.
I believe that before we get into all the nitty-gritty, tell me something about yourself and life before supporting others and what you did before social care became your world. Are Pennine Social Care and Pennine Mancap linked?
They're not legally linked, but I'm the link, I guess. I think the connection is that essentially I'm always looking for different ways to support vulnerable people, and one thing tends to spring into another, and also I'm not very good at self-moderation. So it's been 11 years since we started Pennine Mancap as a charity, and I'm sure I can blather extensively about where all that came from. Pennine Social Care came out of it because as part of the sort of solution attempts, we were looking at all the difficulties that people with autism, learning disabilities and other needs were facing, and there's so much you can do from different angles. So as well as providing lots of community activities and campaigning and opportunities to boost confidence and be artistic and creative and kind of do a lot of the fun stuff through Pennine Mencap, Pennine Social Care was kind of the response to going, well, also we could be offering better care services as well, and let's have a go at that alongside it. So they're two complementary things, and there are other things that happen as well, because I keep saying, oh, that's a good idea. So we're now kind of also a very small charitable housing association in the making as well.
Prior to all of that, tell me about your early life. What was that? Are you a Manchester lad?
Well, as you can tell by my soft southern tones, my pallid complexion and the slight campiness in my voice, I am not a Manchester lad. I have lived a very long life, and it's very, very uninteresting. However, so I was born in 1983, which means I'm in denial about being 40 this year. And I was originally born in Cambridgeshire, and I've moved around for so many reasons throughout my life. Wasn't very sort of stable, I guess, through childhood, teens, early adulthood, and via various places around Cambridgeshire, ended up in Yorkshire, lived in Bridlington for 10 years, never caught a fish or a crab, even though there's plenty of them out there. Moved over to Oldham in 2011 due to all sorts of circumstances, and that was kind of, that rooted me over here. From that point, I kind of found the things that I felt the need to do and I felt motivated to do and I enjoyed doing, because prior to that, what was I doing? I had a power tool business. I had a little unit in Bridlington selling DeWalt drills and secure sight boxes and really uninteresting stuff
and
like
tap
that.
It.
Oh, we didn't go that far. Everyone's got a limit, Terry. I was basically went from being someone who really loves people and loves being very active and can't really shut up, but had purposely shut themselves on their own in an industrial unit in a quiet town selling things that don't talk back to you. And I realised, essentially, at the point, I had an accident. Now I realise you're encouraging me to tell a tragic story. Basically, I started volunteering for other organisations, supporting people with learning disabilities alongside that, and it kind of changed my outlook on life, and it was something I really looked forward to, dedicated all my weekends and a lot of evenings to, and I, I don't know, fate kind of helped make my decision a bit. I was volunteering on a trip to Blackpool. I kind of had an accident on the pier where I destroyed my left foot. I ignored it, got loads of blood clots in my lungs, ended up in hospital. Kind of couldn't walk for months, couldn't drive, couldn't breathe. I had pulmonary embolisms. I was very, very ill. And because of that, I couldn't run my business anymore. So I shut it down. And like I said, fate kind of changed my outlook and get, and I kind of came out of that going, I was doing something before to earn a very modest and uninteresting living, doing a modest and uninteresting thing. I'd like to really try, now I've got this second chance, to do something that makes a real difference to other people, is a bit different, and, I don't know, gives me a sort of sense of purpose, because I like to... I'm one of those woeful people that has very little self-esteem when it comes to looking after myself, but I get something out of doing things for other people.
Brilliant. I guess being associated to a national charity name such as Mencap has both its upsides and its downsides. I'm guessing that you're faced with more localised issues and challenges being a local branch. Yeah. I suppose a little bit like looking at the difference between national politics and local politics.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. So what are the advantages of association to a nationally recognised charity brand? And are there any disadvantages?
I like how you're leading with the positive there of let's go over the advantages first. That's a very, very sensible thing to do. So the advantages are, like when we started the charity, we could have come up with a completely individualised name, but we did kind of go with the idea that if we hitch our flag to the flagpole of a national charity, we'll have a little bit more recognition and understanding of the principles of what we're doing. So it is really good in the sense that there is a national understanding and a local understanding of broadly what Mencap is, and I think that has helped open a few early doors for us in particular. I think as time has gone on, to be frank, National Mencap, and this is no criticism of them, have got better at being supportive of local groups, because when we first started it felt very, very disconnected and there were decisions being made that just didn't join up with how we saw things on the ground. I will, you know, tip my hat and say there's been, I think, a lot of reflection on that at the national level, and they're much more helpful in terms of campaigning and a little bit more towards helping with funding here and there, which is very much appreciated. I'd say the downsides have kind of always been that disconnect. Like, there is a world of difference between being a learning disability and autism charity in Oldham, Tameside, Rochdale and Manchester than, I usually, for argument's sake, say Royal Leamington Spa. That's just plucked out of the air for, you know, contrast. But if you're realistic about it, the social situations that the people we support face here are drastically different even than if you go 30 miles up the road to other nice little Lancashire market towns.
Southport. There, isn't it? We can go there.
We'll go there. I was going to pick a different place. Other branches are available, maybe harder to travel to if you live in Oldham, Tameside or Rochdale. 4-hour round trip to go to Southport Mencap every day, maybe worth it. I don't know. It may be fantastic up there. But my point is that I've always felt like we've had to deal with what I would describe as a bunker mentality of, we're dealing with stuff that isn't publicised on a national level. Because obviously what National Mencap do, and it's fantastic, is that they put out their very positive images of what people with learning disabilities can do, and they're very, very focused on doing visual campaigns, and that has its place, and it's brilliant. And Terry may have just made a hand gesture at me, a polite hand gesture, to suggest that an awful lot of money goes into those, which could be going more locally. See, I'm trying to be polite about it. I don't want to upset everyone today. This was my main thing when I was driving up here today. I was thinking, right, why do I do this? Mainly because I'm really angry with stuff and I think it's massively unfair, but I don't want to go on the radio and just basically whinge. Anyway.
Let's park it there,
we'll
then.
Park it there, because otherwise I'm going to go down my little dark alleyway and that's
can
not
you?
Good.
And I don't know if you can, but I think advocacy plays a massive part in what you guys do and what you stand for. Can you explain advocacy and why it's so important in the work that you do and the development of adults with a need for support and a learning disability.
I love it when someone's got a prepared question that I haven't got a prepared answer to, but I'm going to riff on this, it'll be fine. So, advocacy, for anyone listening that doesn't understand what that means or hasn't had experience of it, it's basically the process of helping someone's voice to be heard, and there's so many different ways you can do that. Generally, our approach is we want people to be able to speak their own voices, and if they need a bit of support, a bit of direction, or more information to be able to do that, then it's better that people are heard themselves. Some individuals may struggle, whether it's because of confidence, mental health, not being able to communicate verbally. We work with such a big diverse group of people that sometimes we also have to speak on their behalf but represent their views. And it's important because, to be blunt about it, a huge proportion of the people that we support don't have, I'm going to make a very extreme statement now, they don't have access to their full human rights. I don't normally word it like that, but in essence, decisions are made about people without them. And even right now, real people that we support who are capable adults with a disability, we privately and sometimes semi-publicly have a lot of, and I don't want to sound like I'm being aggravated, but there's reason for it. They have decisions that are being taken about them by people in authority that are opposite to what they need and what they wish. And I don't ever want to point the finger at any individual, any system, because it's a complex ecosystem we exist in. There's lots of reasons why bad decisions can be made. But what we try and do is find the right way to represent the fact that if someone doesn't want to live where they're not safe or not happy, or they've got conditions at home that are not good for their mental health, or they've got an addiction issue, but because they have a disability, they don't fit into normal, quote unquote, recovery services, what we will try to do is look at those situations and go, on an individual basis, is there anything we can do? Can we make representations? Can we help that person to express themselves? And if the wrong decisions keep being made to their detriment, what can we as an organisation then do to basically annoy the people who make the decisions to change those decisions?
Good stuff. Now then, Pennine Mencap is based at Rosebank Chambers in Oldham Town Centre, boasts all sorts of fully compliant facilities. But I know it wasn't always like that, was it? Because I believe Pennine Mencap had to start in a very, very small dark room.
Yes, literally and figuratively. When we first started, we literally used the back room of what was the Cottage Tavern pub in Ashton, which is now shut down and been turned into flats, like most pubs seemingly have in the last 10 years, and disappointingly so. But we didn't have a base. Landlady let us use that space. One of our other trustees has various office buildings. We asked if he had anything he could let us camp in, and basically he had a windowless room at the back of a building opposite Sainsbury's in Oldham, and we leapt at the opportunity to have some second-hand desks and a door and a toilet and a sink and a kitchen and somewhere just to sit and think about how do we do this stuff. And we were there for 2 years, and it's been a strange journey to go from realizing that was great but as a starting point, but it was absolutely not enough. And the tipping point basically came when we were trying to use other venues for group activities and then doing some at this little office, because we didn't have many people coming to start with. And then we announced we were going to do a project based on an educational, filmmaking and slightly satirical project about how to make a street dance movie. And surprisingly, like 14 new people turned up in one day to our little box room. The thing we had up our sleeve that we hadn't told anyone about at that time was we had also, by the same trustee, who I won't name because he's shy and difficult and so on, but very generous in that respect, he donated us Rosebank Chambers, which is a big old Victorian building that's been through many, many guises. Had a bed shop on the ground floor but was otherwise derelict and vacant. And he said, do what you want with it, make something of it. And we thought, right, that's brilliant, that's amazing, what a huge opportunity. We just need to work out how to fix this wreck. And our hand was a little bit forced, because when all these people turned up to do this street dance project, we looked at the fact that we had like 16 square feet and went, Okay, we need to walk down the road and just use some of that space that is available to us. And I kid you not, the building was in such a dubious state that even to get in, I had to go over to Andy's Autos, the car park shop over the road, and ask them if I could borrow a sledgehammer and a crowbar because the roller shutter had rusted over. And we had nearly 20 people stood in the street with us going, "We have got another space, it's in here, but we can't get in." And I had to literally smash the shutter down so we could go in. And I was so, like, we were all kind of, there was an air of anxiety and almost embarrassment that this really sort of dull looking, dank place that didn't have heating and was clearly very unloved was being made available. But our service users who were there went, "This is great, this is ours." And we were like, "Yeah." And they just immediately adopted it as home. So in the 8-9 years since then, we've been incrementally trying to renovate this nightmarish, wonderful money pit of a building to have all these facilities to do all these wonderful things. And for every step forward we get, there's usually one and a half back. For example, I'll give you a fun story. I love a fun story. We spent a year replacing nearly the entire roof to the building. It's got all sorts of different levels. It's got a mansard. It's got two flat roofs, a pitch roof. There's just different... any awkward type of roof that anyone's ever designed is on that building, and they all leaked. But over the last year, we had a massive scaffold up, 5 stories of it, a lot of money was spent, all the roof was done, we managed to stop the leak. Scaffold came down, next week, pipe burst on the top floor inside the building.
Nightmare.
At a weekend, so we didn't know about it until Monday. And we've had 4 floors of ceilings come down at the back, mainly on my office. Mine kind of bore the brunt of it, and that's okay. The main activity spaces are all still fine, but it's this kind of indicative of that hard thing of being a charity on a budget with a previously unloved old building. It is very, very hard to try to coordinate both the time and funding that's needed to make real changes to it without disrupting the service you're delivering. So it's a perpetual wonderful challenge.
Pennine Mencap, changing the world one brick at a time.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Forever Mancunians. If you like the show, please follow us in your podcast app, and if you have time, leave us a review. To find out how you could work with Forever Manchester, show your support, receive a newsletter, or make a donation, check out ForeverManchester.com.